Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
And I am joined this New Year's Eve day by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. She is all set to answer all of your lawn and garden questions. Isn't that right, Teresa?
That is right. Okay. Happy
just
New want to
be
Year's,
sure.
Everyone. I'm ready.
Check.
I'm ready.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. Not at all. All right. It's good morning. Good to have you back, Teresa. It's always fun when Teresa's answering your questions. And as Teresa knows and our listeners know, regular listeners, that we get a lot of questions. Both by phone and by text today will be no exception. So if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, yes, if you're new to the show, thanks for checking us out. We do indeed here on CCO talk lawns and gardens 52 weeks a year. And why not?
Why
when
not?
You think about it, why not?
Why
now,
not?
A lot of people, Teresa, make New Year's resolutions. Do you have any garden resolutions that you might be, changing your ways with your indoor-outdoor
Absolutely
thing?
Not. Absolutely not. I'm the kind of person who makes a resolution and within a day it's gone. So I've just learned, don't make resolutions. You know, but I have my plans. I have plans. So I'm going to grow some extra vegetables this year. And I'm challenging every WCCO listener to grow something this year, whether it's an herb or a flower or a veggie. So grow something.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's my challenge to you people, grow something.
And you do not have to be a master gardener. I wanted to ask you, and I ask you and your colleagues that are on the show, are you seeing, especially master gardeners, you guys are educators, that's what you do.
That's correct.
Finding younger, the demographics lowering, the demo's lowering for people interested. Are younger people getting involved in gardening, do you think?
You know, Denny, to speak to that, younger people are. It's like there was a generation that kind of missed all that stuff, canning and veggie growing stuff, but the younger generation is picking it up and just running with it. And here in Hennepin County, we are blessed with a lot of master gardeners, and we have one of our biggest classes coming up starting this year. And the master gardener people that, or the people that applied to the master gardener program, they were like all fabulous. It's like, wow. So we're getting really good people in the program, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of interest from the young people, and the participants are now skewing a little younger, thank goodness, because old folks like me will be needing replacements soon. But there's all those good, wonderful people coming in, and they're all starting their classes soon. So I wish all you new master gardeners or will-be master gardeners good luck on your classes. Don't be afraid. You will learn so much, but you don't have to memorize it all. it's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Day at a time. It sounds to me, and you know, we've worked for quite a few years now, you and Julie and Mary, that you guys really love what you do.
Oh my gosh, it's a passion. It's a passion. So if you want to learn anything about gardening, talk to a master gardener or become a master gardener next year. But yes, we love what we do, and we love sharing that information with people who want to learn. And we want you to have the best experience you can have with gardening, whether it's your lawns or your trees or your shrubs or your veggies or herbs or flowers or pollinators. This year in Hennepin County, we are focusing on pollinator health. So a lot of our, we focus on different things every year, but it's not only pollinators that we'll be talking about, but hopefully most things that you go to, most of our events, will have a something that will help the pollinators for you. So if you're interested in pollinators, this is really the year to ask that master gardener, hey, what about?
All right, that's great. And as we move through the hour, we always like to mention the Arboretum, too. Always some fun stuff going on. And we'll do that here down the road. But I want to alert our listeners, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, now is your chance. Call Teresa if you want to chat with her. That's always great. Or if you find it easier just to send a text, we like those, too. Either way, here's the number, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. Texter says, is throwing salt and sand slurry kind of a stuff from my driveway onto my grass okay? The salt does dissolve in water, but does that harm the lawns?
It will harm your lawn eventually, depending upon how much you've put out there. So, and if you have pets, it might hurt their feet too. So because you're putting salt in a non-saline situation, we don't have salt water coming from the skies. We don't have salt water snow, so you're adding salt to that, and salt is invading armies would often salt the soil so that the conquered people couldn't grow anything. So if you put too much salt in your soil, it can become sterile. So you do want to minimize what kind of salt and how much you put down. And then in the spring, maybe give that area a good soaking so that you dilute what salt is on the soil.
Remember years ago, someone mentioned to me that if you're going to put any kind of sodium on like your walker driveway, may it be like mag chloride and magnesium chloride. And I remember a year or two ago getting a text from a longtime concrete worker. I think this guy said he'd been in the business like 30-some years. Said, do not put any kind of salt on your concrete. Said, do not put any kind of salt on your concrete. It will hurt.
Oh, it's tough. It eats it. Yeah. It eats it. It breaks down the concrete.
So that's besides the lawn or anything growing.
Exactly. Or if you're throwing it up against your foundation, if you're snow blowing and then throwing salt and the salt is going up against your foundation, that's concrete too. So you have to be careful with this stuff.
But if we have any kind of good news, and I mentioned this when we were talking with Julie last week, that unlike some years, we've got snow on the ground, and that's a big help, isn't it?
Yep. So, you know, you can use other things like sand, kitty litter, the kind that doesn't clump, the old-fashioned clay stuff. Sometimes coffee grounds work a little bit, just to get some grit, and that works too, so you don't have to. And you don't have to use as much salt as you think. You know, you want like a little pebble down and maybe like 3 or 4 inches around it bare. So that's how much, and then another little pebble of salt. So that's how much salt you have to put down. It's very, very, very little to melt the snow and take care of it.
Okay. Let us grab a phone call, Teresa. I think Tim is phoning in from Mendota Heights this morning. Tim, thank you. Good morning. Happy New Year. What's your question for Teresa?
I've got my grandmother's Christmas cactus, and it hasn't bloomed in many years now. And I'm starting to wonder, how do you tell a live one from a dead one? I'm thinking mine might be dead.
Well, is it green?
No, it's pretty much the color of a copper penny, I think.
Then it could very well be dead. You want to look, go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and go to the house, click on the yard and garden, and then go to the house plants, and you'll see a beautiful picture of a Christmas cactus. They have bright green leaves, and then the brown stems. And you should be able to bend those stems just a little bit. If they just snap, then it's dead. You can also lift the plant out of the pot and see if you have nice white roots growing around in there, or if they're all gray and mushy, or if there's no roots at all. Those will be ideas that will help you to make sure if you have a live or a dead plant. Good luck, Tim.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Tim. Tell you what, I'm getting a little bit of a signal here, Teresa. Time for a real fast break. Ken, we're going to be putting you on the air in a moment here. If you have any kind of a lawn or question or garden question, call us, please, or send a text, and we'll put you on the radio one way or the other. 651-461-9226 is our phone and also our text number here on 830 WCCO, where it's 24 degrees. Stay with us. New Year's Eve tonight. Be safe if you're heading out to party. Otherwise, be like some of us folks, and we're going to be protected inside our cozy homes. Enough of the amateur night, right? If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we certainly welcome yours. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering your smart garden questions this morning at 651-461-9226. Let's see, Teresa, who's next? Ken, we promised Ken and Blaine he would be next here on the phone. Thanks, Ken, for waiting. What is your question for Teresa?
Hi, Teresa. As a master gardener, I think maybe that you can help me out. I have a marrow magnolia tree and a butterfly magnolia tree, and then I have a couple magnolia shrubs. And I'm continually seem to be fighting magnolia scale, and I was thinking that possibly you should be able to help me.
Yeah, Ken, I'm so sorry you're fighting that. It has become very common now. We didn't see it, say, 10 or 15 years ago, but the last few years we've seen a lot of magnolia scale. It's a hard one to deal with. You have to, because the scales, the scale are little insects. If people don't know, they're little insects that when they're young, they move around and they suck juices off of the plants. They're mobile and you can kill them easy at that time. But when they get older, they get like a shell over the back. They become permanently in one place on the plant and they suck the juices out of the plant. And it's harder to poison them because they've got that protective shield. So you can use insecticides that will become in the plant that are systemic in the plant. You can try that. It's a long, tough battle, and the outcome is not all that good. Usually, it's just really hard to keep on top of them because they can put new generations out faster than we can get the insecticide on the plants and take care of them. I would, however, suggest, Ken, that you go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and see if anything on that will help. You may want to use some horticulture oils. That might help to smother them, some systemic insecticides. Or actually, on the bushes, you can actually go leaf by leaf and look on the stem and find the little scales and peel them off. It's very time-consuming, but if you have a special one that you want to save, you can try doing that. It's going to be a long, hard battle because the insects are here, and it's hard to fight them because they love their magnolias so much. Good luck, Ken.
If you have a lawn or garden question, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Teresa, I'm missing my fresh spinach and lettuce, expensive in stores. What's the best way to grow these inside, do you think?
You know, you could try those hydroponically. And the Extension website, again, has a great little blurb on how to grow things hydroponically in your home. You could also try sprouting seeds or growing the mini ones where you sprout the seeds and let them grow a little bit. You can sprout the seeds in water, and then you just have like you'd have spinach sprouts instead of alfalfa sprouts, which we always used to put on our salads. Or you can grow them in soil, potting soil, and or seed starting mix, and let them get the, have microgreens and let them get 2 or 3 inches tall, and then or an inch tall, and then harvest them. Or you can grow them hydroponically too. So you have a lot of options where you can grow them. They don't take up a lot of room in the house, and because they're just green leaves, not flowers, they need light but not super high light like a flower would be. And since you're not growing them for like a bean or something like that, they don't, you don't have to worry about pollination because you're just looking for the leaves. That might help you get going on some options and have some different ways to get your vegetables all winter long. And the microgreens are very, very, very healthy for you, as are the sprouts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to love
now
sprouts.
Now I'm hungry.
I remember putting
with some sprouts and stuff in it.
I'm just thinking, as soon as you said that, I was thinking how I used to have sprouts on a bagel chicken salad sandwich.
Oh yeah, on sandwiches, so you just pile the sprouts high and squish the bread on top, and wow.
Time for lunch.
Now it's time for lunch. Sorry, guys, you're just going to have to do it somewhere else. Denny and I are going to lunch.
You know, we should mention here, because there's so many good folks put in so much work on the university's website, extension.umn.edu. What a great resource. We talk about it all the time for good reason. Tell us just some of the stuff that, you know, the things. And this is a great time of year to, you know, sit back and read the, check out all these different. What can we find on that, for example?
So anything about growing anything. So you can find stuff about growing vegetables and flowers, when to plant. Oh, now my tree has a problem, like Ken with his magnolias. What is the problem of magnolia? Oh, it's scale. How can I take care of it? The university also has now some free pruning classes coming up to help you prune your apple trees. You can find out where those are. They're in various locations throughout the state. I think they've got about 6 of them set up so far, and you have to register, but they're free. They're limited to 25 people each. You can contact Master Gardeners there on Ask a Master Gardener, and so you can send your questions to a Master Gardener if you can't get into the WCCO or you can't find a gardener, a Master Gardener locally, or you're just in the middle of an emergency and you want to send a picture to them and what is this that I'm seeing, they'll help you. If you have to identify insects, they'll help you. If you have to identify pest problems of any kind, whether it's deer or mice or squirrels, they'll give you some ideas about that. There'll be some ideas about houseplants in there. Pretty much anything you can think of. If you love lawns, they have a great lawn care page, and when you should do stuff, and how when you should start your crabgrass pre-emergent, and how high you should cut your lawn, and how to start a new lawn. Should I start a new lawn, or can I fix this one? Really good ideas. So anything you can think about, they can give you ideas on that. There's a whole bunch of things on it. Yeah.
You're right about that lawn section, because you can see a whole program. And we get, as you know, a lot of questions about when should I put this, whether it be pre-emergent or dormant seeding, whatever the case.
Dormant seeding,
There's great information about so many things. Extension.umn.edu. Check it out. See what we're talking about. Yeah. You know what? I'm getting flagged down here with time for to look at that forecast, see what kind of weather is straight ahead here on this new year coming up. So stay with us on our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering your questions at 651-461-9226. The weather is next here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning to you. Happy New Year from all of us here at A3OWCCO. Denny Long along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney here on our Smart Garden Show. We're here, by the way, every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your phone calls and text messages. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you. Tell you what, Teresa, we've got callers. We have texters to keep you busy. Let's get back to it. Let's see. Gwen's first up here on the phone, calling in from, I believe, Cushing this morning. Gwen, thanks for waiting. What is your question, please?
Yes, my children gave me a hydrangea tree for Mother's Day, and I didn't take the flowers off this fall. Should I have? And what about hydrangea bushes?
Gwen, those are good questions. So if your tree is fairly sturdy and you don't have a lot of blossoms on it outside, you can leave those on. If you want to take off a few of them because maybe they're going to get so heavy, you know those heavy snows we get in March that get so heavy, it can bend the tree or break branches. So you can just remove some of those blossoms. They can come off anytime. You can take them off in the fall. Lots of people leave them on in the wintertime. They may thin them a little bit so they don't have as much snow load on the tree. And then hydrangea bushes, it really depends what bush you have, but you can leave the flowers on as they are dead all winter, and then you can prune them off in the spring, or you can take them off in the fall, whichever is your preferred gardening method. And some of those flowers or some of those hydrangeas, you'll have to know the name of your hydrangea. It will then be able, you can then investigate if it blooms on old wood, which is the wood that grew all summer long, and then the next summer it blooms. If it blooms on new wood, which is the wood that grows that year, brand new wood, or if it grows on both woods. And if it grows on both, then you can prune it however you want. But depending upon where the flowers come and how important the flowers are to you, that will also impact where you prune and how you prune. So you want to know whether it's old wood, new wood, or blooms on both wood if flowers are important for you. And good luck with your hydrangea tree, Gwen. That's nice.
Thank you, Gwen. Let's go to Bob, who's calling in, I believe, from Minnetonka this morning. Bob, good morning. You're on CCO with Teresa Rooney.
Good morning, Eddie, Teresa. Happy New Year. We have I'm going to call it a 6x16 area old flower garden that we'd like to convert to try to grow some vegetables. But the soil is really hard, very clayey. And just wondering if there's, you know, the best way to make that more vegetable productive.
Sure. First of all, Bob, and everyone else out there, Happy New Year. I don't think I said that, but Happy New Year to you all. Yes, the magic ingredient that you want to add to the soil is compost. So add as much compost as you're able to and try to mix it into the soil. And then what you might want to do also is then get a soil test from the Arboretum, from the university, and that will tell you and tell them you're growing vegetables, and then they'll give you some suggestions about the pH of your soil, what kind of soil you're now working with, and if you need to add fertilizer. Most vegetables, you probably will have to either give them fertilizer during the year or keep adding compost because they take a lot out of the garden and you want to put that in. And then as often as you can, add compost. And then next fall when you go to put the garden to bed, after you clean up everything really well that's an annual and that has died, and you've mulched in your perennials, as the soil starts to freeze, put another layer of leaves on there, and those leaves will decompose in the winter and they'll help to add more organic matter. So because you have a really heavy clayey soil, the soil particles are really tiny and they stick together and they don't let water in. And then when they dry out, they almost become like a cement or concrete. They get really tough. So you want to add some stuff in between those particles that will help move those particles apart so water and nutrition can flow through the soil. And you do that by adding a lot of compost. You don't want to add sand because sand and clay can make concrete or bricks. You don't want to make bricks out there. So just compost and compost and compost. You can add topsoil if you want to, but mix everything together a little bit so that you don't have layer. You're not trying to make a layer cake. You're trying to make like a fudge brownie where everything's mixed evenly. Good luck with that. Now I'm thinking about food again. Okay.
You've gone to dessert.
Spinach.
from the sandwich to
and
dessert.
Now we're at chocolate cake. Okay.
Here's our phone number. It's also the text number, if you will, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, long question. Will putting gypsum on my grass in the spring neutralize the salt? I know you and your colleagues have answered the gypsum question before, and years ago people did put, especially if you had clay-type soil, right? What was the purpose and what is the purpose of gypsum, and should you use it?
You don't really need it unless you've done a soil test and the university says to add gypsum. Gypsum is used in some very acidic soils to help sweeten them a little bit. Some people put gypsum on dog urine spots, which doesn't help at all. What helps in that situation, and probably the salt situation, is because after you put the gypsum, it's suggested that you water it in well. It's really the water that's breaking up the salt, that's breaking up the dog urine, the over-fertilization of that area. So gypsum is probably not going to bring any great benefits for you. I would just water the lawn well, and try to minimize your salt use, and understand that where that salt is right along your walkways, that you may have to replace the grass a little frequently, or add some compost to, you want to kind of dissipate the salt is what you're trying to do. So that would work better than adding gypsum.
So looking at a text from Barb in Plymouth, which was something you touched on just a bit ago, evergreen trees. She says, when we have heavy wet snow or several inches, my evergreen branches have inches of snow on them. Should I leave that on to let it melt or try and remove it? I know if you try to remove it, you better be careful, right?
You have to be really careful because you can break the branches really easily. So I would leave them, although I am as guilty as anyone. I have a juniper that hangs over my walk, and I hate getting it right down the snow right down the back of my neck. So I will often just wiggle the branches a little bit so I shovel the snow rather than get it on my back of my neck. You should just leave it there. If you have branches like in your arborvitaes that are turning into Dr. Seuss trees where they look really weird because of those heavy March snows, you can take pantyhose or something like that and just tie the inside of the branches, the multi-liter branches, up a little bit, and that will give it some stability. But let the snow shed naturally. Let the sunshine melt it rather than breaking, because it could be ice and then you're breaking the branches, and that's not what you want to do.
Now I'm thinking, here it is, brand new year, January 1st tomorrow. It's winter time. What can we be doing now at our home, getting ready for this coming spring? Or what do you do, Teresa?
Well, if you have houseplants, go and visit your houseplants. Check them out. Make sure that they don't have insects on them. If you can, give them a little shower in the shower. Bring some humidity to them. If they're actively growing, you can fertilize them. If they're barely hanging on, just keep watering them. You don't want to fertilize them. You want to wait till they start actively growing. You can also do some winter sowing. And this is where you take like milk jugs and you put some soil in them, or potting soil, seed starting mix, and then you plant some seeds in there and you get it really muddy, you poke holes in the bottom, you take the cap off, and you've duct taped it, you like cut it in half and then duct tape it back together again. And you set this little concoction outside in January and February, and those seeds will sprout when they're ready. They're hardened off when they're ready to be planted. You don't have to harden them off. This is really good. So if you go and Google winter sowing, you'll find a lot of fun stuff to do. It could be good fun that you have with the grandchildren or the children, or just us gardeners who just need to smell some soil and some potting mix again, and we can justify just getting a little whiff of potting mix. Order your seeds now. Get your vegetable and your flower seeds ordered as quickly as you can so that you get the varieties that you want. If you need to prune your trees and shrubs, starting in January and February, that's a great time to prune many trees and shrubs. Not anything that blooms in the spring, no lilacs or anything like that, but you can trim a lot of your other trees and shrubs. Take pictures of what's going on in your yard. Look at the bones of your yard. That's the hard stuff that stays up all the time. The tree trunks, the arches, the concrete stuff that you have, the benches, the tables. See if there's something that needs some correction. If you need something more, if you need a table over there, or I don't think people put enough benches in their yards. So figure out how to add some benches into your yard so you can actually go out and enjoy your yard. And look inside. So when you're sitting inside, we've all been like inside because it's been bitterly cold out, freezing cold. So look out those windows and think, I would like a garden there. What could I plant there? So where you spend so much time in the house, Look outside and see how you can beautify that view for next spring and summer,
yes.
And then into the winter. So think ahead. You know, if you're always stuck at the kitchen, in the kitchen, and you're cleaning and you're washing dishes and you're looking out a window, why not look out into a spiral herb garden? Why not look into a beautiful tree? Looking out a window, why not look out into a spiral herb garden? Why not look into a beautiful tree? Why not enjoy the view rather than just a flat yard or a dirt spot? Unless you need a flat yard and a dirt spot.
Yeah, but get a different perspective in the photographs. That's a great idea. Teresa, we're going to take a quick break. Luna Willard, Janet, you're going to be next here on the phone. So patience, please. Thanks for hanging on. And we have more of our Smart Garden Show coming along. Now, coming along in the 9 o'clock hour, just a reminder, our Home Improvement Show is always on at that time, and there's no exception. It'll be on again. But it's what we call a repeat performance. Andy Lind is taking the holiday off today, and we're going to hear a show we heard previously here on CCO, just to alert you on that. Still some good information coming along next hour. Right now in the Twin Cities, we've gone to 23 degrees. We might hit 34 later today. You stay with us. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming those lawn and garden questions either by phone or by text at 651-461-9226. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney has been answering your questions this hour, and Teresa, Janet has been hanging on there on the phone from Plymouth this morning. Janet, thank you for your patience. Happy New Year. What's your question for Teresa?
Oh, of course. Thank you both, Danny and Teresa. See, I received a tabletop Christmas tree that I have had sitting on my table in the house. It came like with a string of lights. And it's a dwarf Alberta spruce. So it says on the label to place outside, have a dormancy period. I'd like to plant it in the yard if possible. So when should I place it outside?
Janet, thanks for waiting. And that's a very good, tricky question. Because if you lived in the South, you could put it outside anytime. But if you put it outside now, the roots are going to freeze and the plant will probably be killed. So you're going to have to try to make it get through till you can get it outside and actually plant it. So if you can put it in a cooler location, maybe if you have a heated garage that gets some light, you could wrap it up really well and put it out there, give it some water occasionally, make sure it's still looking okay, or just keep it in a cool part of your house, give it some bright light if you possibly can, and keep it watered, moist, but not soaking wet, and just pray that it gets to the time of year where you can actually dig into the soil and get it planted in the soil. And then when you do plant it in the soil, Alberta spruces, they can get winter burn really easy. Their needles are so fine and their roots don't go that far. So they can brown out on the west and in the south and the west really easy, sometimes even on the north because of the winter burn. So make sure you're planting it somewhere where it might get a little protection from the harsh winter winds, but it can still get as much sunlight as you can get to it. You can throw a little bit of compost in the hole when you plant it, but you're going to have to wait till you can actually plant it outside. During the spring, when it's warm enough, say above 30 degrees, you could set the pot outside and just watch it. Set the pot outside and then bring it back in at night if it's going to get under freezing again. You just don't want the soil to freeze. And good luck. I love those plants, but I've managed to kill a few just because the winters are tough on them, and I just have a bad location for they just get too much hot sun in the areas I was putting them. So that was my bad. Sorry, trees, I killed you.
All right. I know our time is limited here. Let's see how many text messages we can help out here. Why do my indoor spider plants have brown tips is one text.
It could be the dry air, and also there's some chlorine or fluoride in your water. So water with room temperature water that you've let sit out overnight, or distilled water, or reverse osmosis water, that would be good. And if you can build up the humidity a little bit, and just clip the little brown parts off.
Okay. This listener wants to know how to rejuvenate a leggy, is it anthurium plant?
Anthurium?
That could be. It's spelled anthurium, but that's not, as you know, these days, anything goes in a text message.
It can easily self-correct.
Anthurium.
So what you just want to do is, if you can, I would look that up on the Extension website. I'm not sure it's there, and I'm not 100% sure which plant you're talking about. So I would probably, you can often just cut it back a little bit if you want to take some starts again. Put some new starts, get those going, and then plant them in the pot too to make it bushier. And then as it puts on new growth, pinch it back a little bit. But I'm not 100% sure which plant you're working with there, so okay. I don't want to give you specific directions. Sorry.
This texter wants to know, how do you know when you should repot a Christmas cactus? Kind of we talked about earlier.
Oh, that's a good thing. Christmas cactus like to be really snug in their pots, so you can go a long time without repotting them. If there's no soil left, or if you think the plant is so big and the pot is so little, you can carefully take it out of its pot, see the roots circling or coming out of the bottom holes, then you know you can repot it, and just go one size up. And you may want to tease those roots out just a little bit, just a tiny bit, to let them go straight rather than keep circling around. And then just give it a good drink of water when you repot it. And then don't fertilize. If you repot any plant, don't fertilize till about maybe 3 to 6 weeks after the plant has been repotted. Then you can start your fertilization program again.
I was looking at a text from a listener who, here we are on the last day of the year and the last show officially of this year. We'll be back, of course, next week. But the texter says, how do we get rid of creeping Charlie?
Oh, you know, I was just thinking that during
the break.
The
year would not be complete.
Nobody talked about creeping Charlie. I'm so sad.
All right. Well, I know we don't do it during the snow season, but just to answer that question, how do we get rid of creeping Charlie?
Thank you for the question. You've made my year. Okay, so when it blooms in the spring, that's a good time to hit it with herbicide that is formulated for Creeping Charlie. Make sure that you understand that herbicide that you'll be using could kill any other broadleaf plants around it, or if you're using something like a glyphosate or something like that, that kills every living green thing. So you don't want to use it on your grass on Genesis. You want to replant your grass. Pulling it out by hand is always the best way. Just keep pulling it. It's a challenge that you will have for years and years and years. And the more you dig up that soil, the more Creeping Charlie seeds you'll bring to the top. So the more Creeping Charlie you'll have to take care of. And then again, in the fall, when we've hit that first frost, where the plants just suddenly realize they've got to get as much energy as they can, so they start photosynthesizing like little maniacs. And as they do that, they pull the poison down again, so hit it with the same herbicide again. And if you keep repeating those three or four things, you should be able to get rid of it, Owen. 12 or 13 decades. Good luck.
Okay. Listen, we're almost out of time, Teresa. In the last 60 seconds here, tell us what's going on and why we should visit the Arboretum.
You should visit the Arboretum because it's beautiful. You can get out on 3 Mile Drive. You can look at the indoor plants. They have a conservatory there. You can actually get some green and humidity and beautifulness. And then they do have some wonderful exhibits that you want to look at. And I believe Master Gardeners are out there on Saturdays, but don't quote me on that. I'd have to double check. But there's a lot of things you can learn. You could go up to the bee station, the bee house, and learn about bees. There's all kinds of stuff to learn there.
And the thing is, how to get there, and they really made it slick, is to do the online reservation. That's how you get there, right?
You do have to reserve, yes.
And you would not, especially this time of year, people are visiting family and friends, and mm-hmm. it's going to be a nice weekend weather-wise, and January 1st is tomorrow. What a great way to start the new year off with a
and
visit.
And they do have some snowshoeing and skiing out there, too, some cross-country skiing. So you may want to see if those trails are open or if you can do that.
Excellent. And a final text here I think is very fitting. It says, Happy New Year to everyone at Extension. Thank you for your tireless efforts on behalf of Minnesota gardeners and beyond. Wishing you all a bountiful 2023. Thank you, Carla.
Oh, that's sweet love. Thank you, Carla.
Yes.
Yeah.
And thank you, Teresa Rooney. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Danny.
And
Happy
New
Year to you.
We will be talking again in the very near future for another edition of Smart Garden, if you're willing.
We will. Happy New Year to everybody there at CCO, to you, and to everybody out in WCCO land.
Thanks, Teresa. Teresa Rooney.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Master Gardener here on CCO. Another reminder coming along next hour here on CCO. Andy Lindis is going to be taking the holiday off today. And what you'll be hearing is a repeat performance of a past show on CCO. So if you try to call, you won't get in. But there's a lot of good information straight ahead here. So stay with us for that. In the meantime, chance of drizzle, maybe a little snow today here in the Twin Cities. Our expected high, probably the warmest day of the week, near 34. If you're heading out tonight, patchy fog, be careful. Maybe areas of freezing fog overnight with lows of 23. New Year's Day tomorrow, patchy fog, otherwise cloudy near 31 for the first day of the year. Denny Long, thanking you for your company here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!